Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We have got an amazing Friday program for you. Let's get right at it. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Going to be a really good day. I'm hyped. Let's get to it. Busy, busy first hour. I'm going to go back to back, but I want to get in the rotation because I'm going to start hour number two with the all-important Tour Stop announcement. I have the announcement. It is official, or it will be at the top of hour number two. I have got a location. I have got a date. I have got ticket information. I've got the entire lowdown coming up in hour two. So you want to jump in right now. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I'm hyped. We have not had a tour stop in a decade and a half. There have been station visits. There have been appearances. There has not been an official tour stop, though, in a decade and a half. And I've got the official announcement coming up at the top of hour number two. Next segment, a conversation with Iowa Hawkeye junior center Luke Garza. Also in hour number one, Ross Tucker. Second hour, we're talking tour stop. Third hour, a boxing analyst, Mark Kriegel, breaks down Fury Wilder 2. I've got Alvy's week that was on this Friday and a lot more to get to. I'm looking for a phone call right now, though. 1-800-636-8686. And we are all fired up. Not just me. The entire crew is fired up that the tour stop is coming back. It is, Alvy. A tour stop, a tour stop, a tour stop. Who do you think's going to get it? You're all going to know in less than an hour. All right, starting with some baseball. Another day, another guy weighing in on Rob Manfred and the Houston Astros. This time, it was none other than David Ortiz. Now, if you know Big Poppy, you know he was digging in, getting ready to swing out his ass. Digging in and taking some really big cuts. He's Big Poppy. He's David Ortiz. Big cuts, starting with the commissioner. Like, if Mike Trout is jumping in, if Justin Turner is saying things like, quote, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it. If John Lester is calling the commissioner, quote, someone that has never played our game. If LeBron James is jumping into the fight and tweeting, listen here, baseball commissioner, then you know David Ortiz is going to have something good. Poppy, let it rip. Tell us what you really think about the commissioner and do not hold back. I mean, given how this guy has handled the entire situation and what he has said recently, he literally has all of this coming to him, Poppy. So do what you do. Big man, lay this sucker out. And you know, Big Poppy, he just spent about 30 minutes at the bat rack selecting his weapon. Now it's time to swing it. What do you got, big dog? Let the old man have it.
I feel bad for him because, you know, people asking questions like he was the one who started this up. Like, I see players trying to tell him what he need to do. Hey, he don't tell you how to hit or how to pitch. So let him do his job, you know. He's going to do what is best for the game.
Wait, what? Are you talking about the commissioner? Was that Big Poppy talking about Rob Manfred? That's like the biggest record scratch ever. David Ortiz rushing in to defend the commissioner when every other player is looking to destroy the commissioner. That is weird. Really weird. And not the good kind of weird. And it only got even more weird as Big Poppy continued to speak.
He's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job. Players need to let him do what he thinks is better for the game and for everything else. You know what I'm saying? And stop putting him on the spot and telling him what to do.
All right, clones, help me out on this. I need your help on this because recently I had a pretty nasty ear infection. And truth be told, nobody gives a damn, but if you're listening to me right now, I think it's coming back somehow, some way. And by the way, I had like 10 days of meds, and you can't kill whatever it is that's floating around right now. Anyway, Anyway, I did have a pretty nasty ear infection, so help me with this, because I really couldn't hear anything at all for the better part of 2 weeks. So help me. Did David Ortiz just tell everybody to, quote, chillax?
To chillax.
In the year 2020, somebody just used the word chillax.
Chillax.
And did he use it in reference to the commissioner of baseball? What? As if? And not! Didn't want any of that.
Not.
Hey, dudes, back off the commissioner. He's the bomb. The commissioner's bawling. He's doing some sick things. Chillax. It's about time you got on board the fresh train with the commissioner. And y'all just chillax.
Chillax.
Man, I don't know what's more ridiculous. Somebody using the word chillax in 2020? Or somebody defending the commissioner in 2020? Or somebody defending the commissioner in 2020 by telling everybody to chillax.
Chillax.
That is one of the most disappointing takes ever, big fella. And how about this notion that people shouldn't be, quote, putting him on the spot and telling him what to do? Something else that David Ortiz actually said. My man, with respect, when you are the commissioner, you're always on the spot. It's your job. It's what you signed up for. It's what they're paying you a lot of money to do. And you shouldn't need people telling you what to do. You should already know what to do. And the only reason people are telling him what to do is because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's running around, having press conferences, doing interviews, and making the entire thing worse. Manfred mishandled the entire situation from the jump, and then made it even worse by misreading the entire mood of the sport, and then reducing the World Series trophy to, quote, a piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
Poppy, people are telling him what to do because he's made a bad situation even worse, and everybody is pissed. Except Poppy, he wasn't done. In fact, unfortunately, he was only getting started.
The commissioner, Manfred, has been legit since day one. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's fair for everyone pitching him questions and blaming him on things.
I mean, my man's got to be trolling us so hard. It's a joke, right? The commissioner has been legit since day one? It's not fair to question him and blame him? Are you kidding me with that? The commissioner could not have butchered this any worse than he did. Of course he should be questioned. Of course he should be blamed. No, he wasn't the one cheating, but he was the one in charge of investigating the cheating and communicating what he found to everybody when he investigated the cheating, and he jacked it all up. The hell are you talking about, Poppy? Are we talking about the same guy? Are we talking about the same sport? Are we talking about the same cheating scandal? What a weird, weird take from David Ortiz. And yes, I do know the commissioner had Ortiz's back when he retired and said the 2003 PED survey results should not be considered when it comes to Hall of Fame voting. I'm guessing maybe Ortiz really appreciated that and he wants to have the commissioner's back right now. Or maybe it's a matter of Ortiz just trying to soften up or butter up the commissioner before the league releases its investigation into the Red Sox. Or it could just be a really, really weird take from David Ortiz because he had a number of those, including this one, on Mike Fears.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
All right, so his two big takes. The commissioner is doing a great job, and everybody should get off his back, and Fears is a snitch. Let me read you part of that back. Quote, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it. Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why didn't you say, I don't want to be no part of it? So you look like a snitch. End quote. It's a hell of a take now. I mean, of all the villains in this story, Fears is not one of them. You might not like this guy personally, but he's not the bad guy here. And moreover, he's not a snitch. You're confusing snitch with whistleblower. They're not one and the same. Whistleblowers are actually a good thing. They shed light on serious problems. The whistleblower is the one who's got the balls to step forward. They're the ones who draw attention to what happened. If Fears didn't say anything at all, there would not have been this investigation into the Astros, and we would not have learned what happened. And they'd still be cheating, and there would still be an unlevel playing field. Would that be better? Would that be a good thing? I know it would be a good thing for the Astros, but would that be a good thing for every other team and for the sport in general? Let me tell you something. And a lot of you don't believe this, but it's true. The only people who call other people snitches are the people who have something to hide. If Ortiz's beef is with the timing of it and the fact that Fears didn't say anything while he was with the team and only said it afterwards, then his beef is also with the entire Astros team who never said anything at all. And all the other former Astros who went to other teams and never said anything at all. And it does raise a very obvious question, right? If Ortiz is such a huge proponent of guys speaking out when a problem is happening, where was Ortiz and why was he not speaking out during the PED era? Because I don't remember hearing anything from him at that point during that when he was getting paid. What about that? I hate to do this, but I'm about to bring in Jose Canseco, of all people, as the voice of reason on this. Canseco said, quote, Mike Fears, the truth is never wrong, no matter when you say it. It's never too late for the truth. Big Poppy, I am a fan since the first time I met you in Minnesota, but get off this, kid. You made it through the PED era, end quote. Wow. I mean, I'm not sure that I thought that I was going to say this, but Jose Canseco was right. Fears isn't a snitch. He's a whistleblower who told the truth and blew the lid off a massive cheating scandal. There are a lot of really bad guys in this, but Fears isn't one of them. So just chillax on him. In fact, Big Dog, chillax on everything. Chillax. You're not making any sense at all. So no, we're not turning the page on this yet. Not as long as guys are rushing in with their hot takes. And especially if that hot take includes telling everybody that the commissioner is doing an amazing job and that the rest of us all need to, quote, chillax. Hey, clones.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean, clones? Chillax. Tour stop announcement coming up. A tour stop, a tour stop, chillax. A tour stop. Top of hour number two. I'm going to make it official. I'm going to tell you where it is, when it is, how to get tickets, and we're back in this thing. We're back in the tour stop business. Luke Garza coming up next. Ross Tucker after that. Tour stop announcement after that. Working out is hard. It's always been hard. But Bombas can make even the toughest workouts a lot more comfortable. Bombas Performance Socks are designed for everything from running to hiking to cycling and more. They're made with a lightweight polycotton blend, which means no matter how hard you're working, your feet will stay cool, dry, and comfortable. Never sweaty. Bombases are built with a special arch support system that is supportive, but not too tight. They're left-right contouring, and Y-stitched heel keep your socks perfectly in place. And that annoying toe seam. The most socks have, you don't have to worry about that because Bombas ditched it. Did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? Bombas socks were created to change that because for every pair you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to somebody in need. So go to bombas.com/Jim Rome right now. Get 20% off your first purchase. Bombas is B-O-M-B-A-S. BOMBAS.com/Jim Rome. Get 20% off. Bombas.com/Jim Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Rolling through hour number one. It's going to be a very busy day here in the jungle. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. As promised, we are talking Iowa basketball. We are joined right now by a center for Iowa. Coming off a game where he had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists in a big win over number 25, Ohio State, last night. He leads the Big Ten in scoring. He's 4th in rebounding. He has 12 straight Big Ten games with 20 points or more. That's the longest streak in the Big Ten in 2 decades. Iowa is number 20 in both polls. They're at Michigan State on Tuesday night. Luca Garza is my guest. Luca, good to have you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Really good. All right, so you had that big game last night against a very good Ohio State team. Let me start right there. Going into the game, you knew the team was a little bit banged up and the rotation might be a little bit shorter. So what was your mindset as a team and an individual going into last night's matchup?
Well, for us, you know, we've been here before. You know, we've had CJ out before and we've been banged up all year kind of. And so our team was kind of ready for this moment. And, you know, we have a real next man up mentality on our team. So, you know, I was just really proud of the guys off the bench who really stepped up and were able to score the ball and help us out, especially against such a great defense like Ohio State. And we really need that to take pressure off guys like, you know, me and Joe Wieskamp when teams are game planning for us. So, you know, those guys coming off the bench was huge for us and led to the win.
Iowa center Luca Garza joining us. Now, you know, the team is in third place in the Big Ten, a really tough conference, but you were picked to finish eighth. What maybe did you know about this team before the season that maybe people outside the program did not know about the team?
Well, I could feel it, you know, as soon as spring workout started last year, just the way the ball was moving on offense. You know, we were playing pickup and working out, and you could just really tell this team was really connected offensively first. And then I think we started to work on our defense, and we've just made huge strides in that area, and I think we've become, you know, a generally connected team on both ends. And, you know, I kind of saw that coming, you know, going into this year, and I think that's what's been showing all year.
So we're late in February right now, and the team is playing really, really well. If this team is playing this way into March, what's the upside? Are you thinking about this team possibly making a deep run in the tournament? Does it have that kind of potential?
Yeah, the sky is the limit. You know, when our team plays as well, we have many guys, you know, stepping up off the bench and everybody scoring. And, you know, when we're, you know, playing defense like we did last night, you know, we're a team that we know we can score on anybody in the country, and I think we've proved that. But, you know, the biggest thing for us is being able to defend and string together stops, you know, to get wins. So I think, you know, this team, if we're locked in on the defensive end, I think we have, you know, a lot of potential to do some great things.
We're talking Iowa basketball. Luca Garza is my guest. And last night, as I mentioned, Luca was your 12th straight Big Ten game with 20 points or more. You dropped 44 on Michigan in their building, which was a record for a visitor. You had 38 at Assembly Hall last week, which nearly broke the record for a visitor. Every team that you face now knows that you're coming and they're trying to stop you, yet you keep putting numbers up. How do you explain that?
I think, you know, credit to my teammates. I think my teammates, you know, really find me in my spots. And, you know, we have to push the ball in transition really hard so they can't, you know, double team as easy. And, you know, I think my team has been doing a great job of just finding me, you know, when I'm open and, you know, when the double team can't get there. And I think, you know, for me, I think playing hard is the most important part of my game. You know, I being able to play hard, you know, gets me a lot of baskets and is the reason I can be so consistent.
Listen, I know if I ask you about you again, you're going to say something about the team again, but the fact of the matter is you're playing so well that you're getting a lot of attention for National Player of the Year awards. What's it like when you hear that, and what would it mean to you to be named the National Player of the Year?
I mean, it would mean the world to me. It's something you could, you know, you dream of as a kid, and it's something that I never could have thought, you know, my name would ever be in that discussion. And, you know, I've been doubted my whole life, and I've just worked through it and pushed through everything by working hard. And I think, you know, working hard can make your dreams come true. So, you know, that would be an honor. And, you know, just it would be the best feeling ever.
Luca Garza, my guest, I want to take a few moments before I let you go and talk about your process and your journey. If we were to go back, what you're doing now is not an accident, nor is it luck. It is a result of that process. As an example, after your sophomore year in high school, you did not have any major college offers. How would you describe your game at that point, and what were your thoughts about your future in basketball at that point?
You know, a lot of people, you know, had their doubts because I wasn't very gifted athletically, and I was big, but I couldn't really move. And so, you know, that's something that's followed me my whole career, but especially in high school. You know, high majors were hesitant to offer me because they didn't think, you know, my game would translate to the high major level. And, you know, Coach McCaffrey took a chance on me, and he was my only, you know, high major offer up until, you know, my junior year, after my junior year going into the, you know, my last AAU, you know, run. And, you know, that's when I started to play really well, and I collected a lot of high major offers, and I was, you know, widely known as a high major guy. But, you know, I rewarded the loyalty of Coach in the end because he saw something in me that a lot of different coaches, you know, passed on. And, you know, that's why I came here, and that's why I wanted to play for Coach.
Luca Garza, my guest. One more thing, too. You and your father, Frank, right around that time, started to do really serious workouts over the summer, like conditioning, agility, cardio work, training on the basketball court. What were those workouts like, and then how much did they change you physically and mentally?
You know, it changed my life. You know, my dad is, you know, the person who taught me the game, and he's, you know, we've been working out since I was, you know, 3 years old. You know, and, you know, once I got to high school and, you know, I realized I could really do something with this game, you know, my dad took it to another level. And, you know, I'm just so blessed to have the family that I do, that, you know, my dad could put me around him and his college coach, and my grandfather who coached in college, and my uncle who was a professional basketball player, and just, you know, so many people that can help me and guide me and help, you know, add things to my game. So every summer, you know, I go into the off season with a mindset that I want to improve, and I think I've done that every off season of my life. And, you know, I think those workouts in the summer is just, you know, kind of where I changed myself into, you know, a guy who could maybe go, you know, low D1 to a guy who could be a high major basketball player.
Hey, Luca, don't forget about moms. Your mother played pro ball as well. So, like,
oh, yeah,
everybody in the family.
The list goes on and on. My aunt, you know, my grandfather was a professional soccer player. My grandma was a handball player. You know, it's just my family. We can talk for days about that.
See, not only that, it's in the family, but again, it's the grind, man. It's the work ethic. Like, last summer you went to Bosnia where your mother was born, but you didn't relax. You were playing. You were working out three times a day. The workouts involved bricks, punching bags, and more. See, it seems to me most people would hate that. They would shrink away from that. They wouldn't want to do it. You seem to love that grind. Or did you force yourself to love that grind as a strategy?
No, it's interesting. I think a lot of people, you know, dread that part of basketball. And for me, honestly, it's my favorite part. You know, it's better than the games for me. You know, being able to, you know, work on your craft and grind and work out every day, that's just, you know, that's something I love. That's something I embrace. And, you know, when I don't do that, you know, I feel bad. You know, that's my favorite part of the game. And so, you know, every summer I go into it with a mindset. And like you said, I was in Bosnia working out with my cousin, my uncle, my dad, and we were working out all the time. And that's just, you know, the way our family works. And I was taught that at an early age. And I'm just, like I said before, that I'm just really blessed to have the family that I have.
Listen, last thought, not to be redundant, but there's the preparation and the grind. And then there's the battle, the heat of the moment battle. Against Texas Tech, you took a shot to the face that left you covered in blood. Against Iowa State, you had a tooth displaced. Again, not everybody wants that, but in terms of physicality, you said, I've always been up for the wars and the pain. That's just what I love about basketball. Why is the war and the pain the best part about basketball?
I don't know. I think, you know, ever since I was a kid, I loved, you know, playing in the plane. I loved watching, you know, the big men battles of the, you know, the NBA in the past and the history of the game. I just, you know, I just love that stuff. And, you know, I would do anything for my team. So, you know, I'll push through anything. I will, you know, fight and get rebounds. I'll do, you know, whatever it takes to win. And I think, you know, I've always really embraced, you know, the battle and the pain. I think that's one of the reasons I signed up to play in the Big Ten, which is, you know, pretty much one of the most physical leagues, you know, there is.
For sure. He is a National Player of the Year candidate. Iowa is number 20 in both polls. They've got a big game coming up on Tuesday at Michigan State. Iowa center, Luca Garza. Luca, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate the conversation. Well done by you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Great job. I appreciate you, Luca. Really nice to talk to you. Great story. Really good player. 1-800-636-8686. And by the way, good to be talking Iowa basketball in the jungle. I like that. Coming up next, Ross Tucker talking CBA and more. The owners approved the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. Now it is up to the players to vote on it. But do they feel the same way about it as the owners, who obviously want to push it through? We will talk about that. Then the top of hour number two, a Toy Stop announcement. We're bringing it back. I'm running it back. I'm bringing it back. And in a half an hour, you will know exactly where, when, and how you can be a part of it. Mark Kriegel in the third hour. Albie's Week That Was in the third hour. First up, though, got a sports update for you. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So if I tell you it's Friday, what do you think? You think, hell yeah, it's Friday, time to rage. All right. I get that. I think it's an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on. And remember, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I am efforting Ross Tucker. I will find him momentarily. We are now a half hour out. Top of hour number two, a tour stop announcement. I want to lay out exactly what they used to be and what they're going to look like when I bring them back at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock straight up, or right after your sports update, or whatever you do at the top of the hour. I will tell you where it is. I will tell you when it is. I will tell you how to get involved, and I'll give you the breakdown. I'm fired up. Tour stop, a tour stop, a tour stop. The last one we had was in 2004, if I'm not mistaken, and it was in Cleveland. Name that voice. Who's that guy right there? John in C-Town, of course.
Cleveland?
He was banging his monkey hard back in the day for a tour stop. We had three of them in Cleveland. Three of the best ones ever were in Cleveland. 1-800-636-8686. Big Poppy, man, got really weird with his takes. I put that to you at the top of the hour. In addition to that, I don't know if you saw the story. I hate to go here, but it's already viral. You already know about it. I'm not going to bring up something that you haven't seen already. I do, in fact, have, and Alvin, I'm not sure if you have an alert for this or an alarm for this, but what I have in actuality is a scrotum alert. That's not what that is. You can't just take some sounder from something else and then call it your scrotum alert. That's coming up later on. Right now, though, as I promised, we are joined by a former NFLer. He spent 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker, NFL, good friend of the program. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on?
Jim, I'm fantastic, man. How about yourself?
So good, Ross. Great to visit with you. Thanks for making time. A lot to cover, so let me just jump right into it. A lot to cover, and we could talk about the CBA, and it's not the most exciting topic in the world, but Ross, what was your reaction when you heard the notion that they were looking to expand the playoffs? Is more better in this case?
Well, so from a player's perspective, I absolutely love it because you're only asking four teams to play one more game. So 12.5% of the teams play one more game, and that gives us two standalone games wild card weekend, which, as you know, that is a ton of money being injected into the system, into the cap for all players. So from a player's perspective, love it. As a broadcaster, I mean, I'm going to watch the heck out of those games. I love it, adding two more games. I do think that there are some fair concerns to be had. I know there are people that are concerned about watering down the playoffs. That's not really my deal, Jim. I'm okay with that. I mean, when they first went to 12 playoff teams in 1990, there were 28 teams in the NFL. This is before Jacksonville and Carolina. So 42.9% of the teams made the playoffs. Now it'll be 14 out of 32. That's 43.8%. So it's not even a full percent more. So those aren't the things that bother me. If I had a concern, is that we are totally diminishing the value of the number two seed. I mean, what's cool now, right, is that you really want to be the number one seed for home field advantage and the bye. But then you really want to be the number two seed, like the Chiefs were after Fitzmagic beat the Patriots, so that you get a bye. Now it'll be number one seed or bust. Some people say they like that. I just think if you have a year like this year where the Ravens were clearly going to be the number one seed, there's not that much of a difference between 2, 3, and 4, which would mean there's not much of a difference between being the 13-3 Packers or the 9-7 Eagles that barely get in.
Well said. Ross Tucker, my guest. You're right. It devalues the 2 seed, but man, it's got to make that 7 seed pretty feel pretty damn good. Ross Tucker joining us. All right, Ross, let me ask you about the CBA. Now, J.J. Watt immediately came out yesterday and tweeted that he was, quote, a hard no on the collective bargaining agreement. He did so before leaders from the NFLPA even got on the phone today to talk about that. What was your reaction when you saw that from him?
Extremely disappointed in him. I would tell him that to his face. I would love to talk with him about it in any sort of public forum. I mean, you're talking about a guy, Jim, first of all, he was teammates with Eric Winston, who's the president of the NFLPA. And JJ, he's a tremendous player. I know everybody loves him, and he's great on social media and Saturday Night Live, but he's not a player rep. He's not on the executive committee. He hasn't put in over 300 hours over the last 10 months like these players have. So to just say it's a hard no without even, like, calling Eric Winston and talking to him about it, I just can't believe that he would do that in a public forum like that. And then, by the way, have no reasoning as to why he's a hard no. I would love to know why he's a hard no on a CBA, Jim, that is better on every single line item across the term sheet that JJ just played 9 years on. And maybe even more to the point, that guy's made over $85 million. He is one of 5 or 10 guys in the whole NFL, 15 maybe, that have done that. This CBA is for 2,000 men who are doing whatever they can to try to get a great head start financially for their families and some financial security, getting the league minimum for 3 years before they blow out their knee or 5 years before they lose their job to a guy that's younger. This is really, really serious. And the NFLPA represents those 2,000 guys. So for a guy that's made over $85 million, and by the way, he deserves a voice. And he has absolutely a right to voice his opinion. But for a guy that's not in the negotiations at all, to not even say what he doesn't like about it and not understand that he is not even really representative of the group we're talking about here, it's extremely disappointing. I've spoken with a number of players and former players this morning that are irate with him right now.
Ross Tucker is my guest. Ross, if you had to guess, what do you think it is that he does not like about that agreement?
A couple things. Number one, he probably doesn't like the 17th game. I think most guys are just generally opposed to the 17th game, which is a shame, Jim, because I think they probably don't understand the economics of it. Like, I'd love to sit down with them. You know, everybody's like, oh, the owners are going to get what they want. Jim, you know this. The 17th game is primarily about TV revenue. The players get 55% of the TV revenue. The players benefit more from the 17th game than the owners do. It's so frustrating how many poorly informed people, including some players, speak out on social media about this stuff. Like, if you went on Christmas Day and said to the guys in the locker room, all right, dudes, just heard from the owner. We can play one more game, and you all get 150 grand. Because, by the way, that's at least what the 17th game is per player being injected into the salary cap. Every single guy, Jim, would say, heck yeah, I'm in. I mean, maybe one or two super-duper rich guys like Richard Sherman or J.J. Watt would say no, but almost unilaterally, those guys would say, you know what, we already did training camp, we already did the whole season, 150 grand for one more game at this point? Heck yeah, we'll do it. And that's what I think is a real shame, is people don't understand that. And I see all this stuff, Jim, about players are, you know, they need to sit out. You're not going to sit out. No guy is going to sit out. That's the whole point. They don't really have leverage. maybe J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman would sit out. None of the other guys are going to. Their wife is going to say to them, you're getting $72,000 a week, and you're going to sit here? You have to absolutely go out there, and you need to do whatever it takes to play. Guys are not going to sit out, so they don't really have leverage.
Hey, Ross, this point about the 17th game, and you're talking about if you went to every guy and said, we'll give you $150,000, do you want to play? And they'd say yes. The guys that are saying no are pushing back on that $250,000 cap, right? And the ones who are doing that, of course, are the ones who make enough money that if you were to prorate that, they would make more than $250,000 for that game. How many guys are actually in that position, and do you even care? I mean, do you understand why they would feel that way, or should they do what's better for the sport and say yes to that?
So, as usual, Jim, you're on top of it. I didn't get there yet, but that is exactly right. If I had to guess, J.J. Watt doesn't like the idea of the 17th game and really doesn't like that he won't make his same rate. And I get that. I think that's the worst term in the whole term sheet. That makes no sense to me why that would be capped. It absolutely should be the situation where they get what they've gotten the whole year. I don't know why it's capped. I'd be frustrated too. But the reality is, they're not going to go to 17 games until 2021 at the earliest, maybe later than that. And it only affects the guys that are currently under contract through 2021, 2022, 2023 that make more than $250,000. I'd love for somebody to go through, because it's really not that many guys. It's really not that many guys that feel that way or that would be affected by it.
Ross Tucker, my guest. All right, Ross, one quick thought, and I do appreciate your thoughts on that. Normally I would say CBA is not something people want to hear about, but I'm so glad you and I had that conversation. If you were Joe Burrow, would you be trying to use whatever leverage you have to try to avoid the Bengals?
It's a great question. I know what I wouldn't be doing. I wouldn't be doing what he's doing right now. He's kind of beating around the bush, Jim. You know, he's kind of trying to have it both ways. If he really doesn't want to play for the Bengals, then I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a player. I know I wouldn't love it, but as a former player, I'm okay with guys doing whatever they think is best for their career. And if he really doesn't want to be a Bengal because he doesn't like the ownership or the franchise, I'm okay with that. I just wish he would say it. You know, he's being asked if it's a long process. They got their process. I've got mine. And maybe you'd argue, Jim, that he doesn't know yet. Maybe he wants to sit down and talk to them and find out whether or not he's comfortable being a Bengal. And if that's the case, that's fair. Personally, I love the city of Cincinnati. And, you know, I see where Carson Palmer says they're not committed to winning a Super Bowl or whatever. I mean, in the last 8 years, they had a period where they went to the playoffs 5 straight years with Andy Dalton, who's perennially average, as their quarterback. 5 straight years. That's hard to do. So if I'm Joe Burrow, I'd like to think that I'm confident enough in my abilities to think if they were able to put a team around Andy Dalton that could go to the playoffs 5 straight years, why can't I get them to championship games, Super Bowls, and be the hero around here?
He played 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is the co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Hey, Ross, my man, I appreciate it so much. You had another long week. You could have already gone to the weekend. You're still doing work. I respect it. I appreciate it. And that's a great job by you, as always, Ross. Thanks so much.
Anytime, you know that, man. I'm actually in the car with my family on the way to the ski trip. But when Jim Rome calls, I answer.
My man. Hey, fam, what's up? You guys have a great weekend. You should be proud of the old man. He's killing it. Good job, Ross. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. I mean that sincerely. Ross Tucker is doing so well and creating so much quality content. You can agree with what he said or disagree with what he said, but this is somebody who's going at it the right way every single day and creating really good content. I'm proud of you, Ross. Great job. Have a great ski trip. You earned it. When we come back, the tour stop announcement. It is time. I will tell you where, I will tell you when, I will tell you how. That's next.